Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch bonnie plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
If there's anything better than getting a few of your favorite things from McDonald's, it's getting a few of your favorite things from McDonald's for less in the McDonald's app. Delicious. Order in the McDonald's app today. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, only in the app. Enjoy a breakfast sandwich for just $1, like a sausage McMuffin with egg. Offer valid one time per day from 4/29 to 5/12/24 at participating McDonald's. Must opt into rewards.
Hi, my name's Bill Hader. And I feel great about being Conan O'Brien's friend.
Fall is here. Back to school, ring the bell, brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hey there, welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. I had to pause briefly for this introduction because I was finishing chewing. Is this an Asian chicken salad?
Yes.
Yes, and I didn't want to be chewing on the air. So I don't even know why I mentioned this because you didn't know that I had to delay. So this is just more evidence that I'm new to this format and I desperately do need a friend. Joined today by, of course, my trusty assistant, Sona Movsesian. Hey, Sona.
Hey, Conan. That salad looks really good.
It is good. Mm-hmm. It's a good, very good Chinese chicken salad.
It's a Chinese chicken salad, yeah, but
I took out a lot of the fried wonton pieces. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the wontons.
Yeah.
Well, you're eating, but nobody else is eating. I think it's important to point that out.
In ancient times, the king would eat.
Oh, my
and
God.
And everyone had to watch the king eat. Mm. No, I believe have you guys eaten?
No, my stomach's growling.
Oh,
no,
I'm pretty hungry. A guy over there who's always discontented, Matt Gourley, yeah. The podcast whiz. You have not eaten yet today?
I haven't, no. But don't worry about me.
Okay.
Thanks.
I'm sure you have some food stashed in your beard.
God.
Little Tic Tacs, a little bit of barbecue.
I don't want
bison
what
that's been dried.
What is this weird obsession with how I look? Are you going to single white female me?
Oh. No. You mean that I will dress up like you?
Yeah.
So that I can sleep with Henry Fonda's granddaughter?
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure that's how it works.
I don't know either. Peter Fonda's daughter.
Yes.
Why did I say Henry Fonda's granddaughter?
I don't know.
But she is that as well.
She is that as well.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I just got a little more complicated than I needed to. That's all.
And Jane Fonda's niece?
Right.
Bridget Fonda.
We could have just used her name.
Yeah.
Because of her name.
You guys could have just said Bridget Fonda.
I
could have saved a lot of time.
Yeah. I have to admit, when my ancestor was at Ford's Theater when Lincoln was shot, and he ran out of the theater and said, "Robert Lincoln's father's been shot." And people were like, "What?" And he went, "You know, the husband of Mary Todd has been injured." And they were like, "What?" He's like, "I'm telling you, why aren't you listening to me? The great-grandson of Jebediah Lincoln has been shot."
Oh, my God. Is that his real grandfather's name?
Probably not. Oh. But, you know, 50% chance because 50% of people in the world back then were named Jebediah.
That's fair, yeah.
Anyway, why babble like this?
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it. Very excited today because someone who I just love hanging out with always makes me laugh. A giggling fool and a hilarious, hilarious, multi-talented gentleman is joining us, Mr. Bill Hader. Hey, Bill.
You got a podcast. On podcasts, people get real on podcasts.
Okay, well, let's get real, man.
Let's get into the dirt.
You know, first of all, no swearing. Second of all, this is mostly for children. But second of all, you know, we're not going to have any joking around during this thing, okay? Because this is a chance for us to find out who the real Bill Hader is and get said, we're not going to fuck around. And then I just swore. We're going to get into the nitty gritty. No, no, no.
But every time we swear, it's like.
Whoa. It's like, so anyway, man, I was, you know, I was doing drugs and I was really hating myself, you know, and I was just so up and.
It's hard to understand. Conan tried to get real with Bill Hader, and I think I only heard every third word.
Yeah, it got really real, and it was a lot of great sound effects, too.
Like, when I was a kid, I've never talked about this before, but there was an uncle I had, and he came over when my parents weren't home, and I've never told anyone, but...
And then he would... And then one time...
Well, that's all the time we have, Bill. That was a lot of fun.
That's a spicy meatball.
Wow, we really got into it with Bill. He left a shell. He was just a shell when he left.
I've never told anybody about any of this, Dave. And I'll never say it ever again.
And even your therapist listens. I didn't understand a word.
It's like, look, yeah, if it's just someone.
All right, now let's get into it, man. Because, you know, this is the problem I have on you with all your noises and your shtick.
Yeah.
And there's always the danger that we won't have a real conversation.
All right.
You know, and that can't happen.
That's us in life.
I know. We go out to dinner sometimes, and it's just pure foolishness the whole time.
Right. Hello, sir.
Hey. Yes. What did you say recently that we both have a fondness for?
We have a crutch, which is antiquated terms.
I prefer fondness to crutch. But I...
It is like, it's true. I just write down, and we were doing a bit of arguing with each other, and I said, my seconds will call on your second. And he went, yes, sir. And there's no one else.
Yeah.
Forthwith, there's no one else I could do
No,
that.
I love old telephones. I love... Two of the writers that I worked with on The Simpsons were similarly obsessed with, it was Oakley and Weinstein, they were similarly obsessed with old-fashioned, I think, mannerisms and customs. And we used to just sit around forever and say things, just talk for as long as we could in late 19th century foolish babble. And it was all about the wax, the... The clerk, you know, unfastened his cellophane cuffs and moved the wax cylinder carefully into position, you know, and it was, but they're the ones that came up with Mr. Burns answers the phone, and this was a true thing. I think Edison really wanted people, he thought that the etiquette, or it was Edison or Graham Bell, early on, they thought the etiquette of answering a phone should be, ahoy, hoy.
Oh, right,
And so they had Mr. Burns, instead of hello, they thought it should be ahoy hoy, and then I forget what it was that you replied.
Yeah.
It was like ahoy, ahoy hoy.
Ahoy hoy, it was ahoy back, maybe.
Ahoy back, yeah, ahoy hoy, ahoy, and then that meant the conversation could begin, and I love the arrogance of saying, this is the telephone, and this is how it will be used from now and for the next 1,000 years.
Yeah, controlling that.
Controlling, and then people were like, what the fuck?
I'm going to say hello.
I'm not going to say, I'm just going to go, hey, what's up?
Hi.
Yeah, no, you're not to say sup.
Sup.
You're not to say what's up. You're supposed to say ahoy, and then you say ahoy,
you don't
ahoy.
Just say K. You say ahoy.
Can you imagine them reading texts, getting really mad?
Oh my God, ahoy hoy text.
What is this, you up?
You up.
No.
You out? What is you out mean?
You out?
You up. You out.
You up?
What do you mean, new phone, who dis?
Who dis?
Dis. D-I-S.
If this is for fornicating, then you should say, ahoy hoy.
Ahoy
fornication,
hoy.
Plea. Fornication, plea.
Oh, my God.
Ahoy hoy.
Oh, my God.
Fornication, plea.
And then fornication accepted. Forthwith.
Forthwith. My area shall meet your area.
This is how it should have been.
We will touch areas forthwith. No, I love all that stuff. Those The Simpsons jokes of that time too. I've watched my oldest daughter rewatch Simpsons, and those jokes, like, no one's done anything like the just the simplicity of something like when Mr. Burns is shot, and they think that Smithers did it, and Smithers being let out of
of a court flanked by cops, and all the reporters come up, and the first reporter goes, "Hello, who are you and where are you going?" And Ken Brockman goes, "Damn it, man, do your research."
No, I'm still...
I get mad when I see a joke like that. I'm like, that is so simple and perfect. It makes me so mad.
I left there a long time ago and had this nice thing where I lost touch with The Simpsons for a while. You know, you work there and then you get really busy making your own stuff. And so but now through my son, I'm watching Simpsons episodes and he's 13 and he loves it. And so I'll sit, he's not allowed to watch TV during the week, but we on the weekends, we'll watch some Simpsons together and I'll see these jokes.
Slave ship. Brian
House. And I'll say, you know, I used to write on this show. I was a big deal back in the day. And, I was watching one the other day, and there was this joke I had never seen before. And my head writer, Matt, said, "Oh, my God, I love that. I remember that joke. I love that joke." Homer's walking along at night, and he passes a place, and it says Jim. Have you heard of this?
No.
And it's G-Y-M, and it's at night. And Homer goes, "Gime? What's a gime?" And then he walks inside and there are all these people lifting weights and working on machines and he goes, "Oh, a gime." stupid.
One of my daughter and I laughed. That was Lisa wants a dog and there's a bunch of puppies. Yeah. And Wise Guy, the guy that Hank Azaria, the guy, "Hey, Boyle."
Yeah.
And he goes, she goes, "I want to buy a puppy." And she goes, "Which one's the smartest?" And he goes, "That one." And she goes, "How do you know?" He goes, "He writes mysteries." And she goes, "How does he write mysteries?" He goes, "He figures at the end he works backwards." And you're like, you just go, "Fuck off."
You know
That's
what I love?
Too good.
Just as there are comics, really, you know, comics who are really brilliant, and then they don't so much love to sit around and talk about comedy and laugh. They're just, they're very, I don't know how to put it. If you were just talking to them normally, you might think, I don't know that this person is in comedy.
And then you
see them and they become extroverts on stage.
Yeah.
One of the things that I love about you is you love making people laugh and also laughing. The times I've been with you or we get dinner with Martin Short and I'm just crying.
Oh my God.
But you will just go in and out of these characters and you're just enjoying yourself. You're not putting on a show. It's just, it's really fun.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's all an extension. Me and you and Marty were talking about this. The dinner was, it's a weird extension of, I don't know if you've, for me, it was the lunchroom in high school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, I still feel like that's the funniest I've ever been. And that's the funniest, like, I'm not the funniest guy at my school, my friends, by far. It's other people that I'm like, those guys are so much, like, so funny. But it's just that looseness. And I remember being at SNL and for so long being so tight and going, I need to get back to, and you do, you go, "Well, when was I funny?" You know, yeah. And you go, "Oh, in the lunchroom in high school, I was really funny. I need to kind of be relaxed and I need to kind of be friends with everybody and feel like I can kind of fail in front of all these people and a thing doesn't work out and you don't care." And you know, that the worst part about SNL is when you first come in and people are doing bits and you're kind of like doing the math in your head of like, well, I'll say this and then, you know, and that's death.
No,
you know?
It doesn't work.
You have to kind of just like roll with it or whatever. And I got that way around you the first time we hung out where I'm like, oh gosh, you know, and then Marty and everything like that, you know, so it's nice to be able to relax. And I see other people go through that. Darcy Carden was a great actress. She's on Barry and Good Place. She was my nanny forever, and I didn't know she was in comedy. And then I went and saw her perform at UCB, and I was like, oh, not only does she do comedy, she's brilliant.
Yeah, she is fantastic.
And then it was like she relaxed, and now I'm like, you're like one of the funniest people. How did I not know you're one of the funniest human beings on the planet, you know? And so much of it is just being relaxed.
She, I was talking to Darcy once recently, and she just said, "Yeah, I worked in a architectural firm once, and
you and your wife came in to talk to the architect who was there, and this is back in New York, and I'm always sort of curious, like, I hope I behaved myself.
Yeah, right.
I think I'm a nice person, and I like to put people at ease, and I think I'm comfortable in my own skin, but I kind of just said, like, was I okay? And she was like, oh, you were doing bits the whole time.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
She said, yeah, like, yeah. You know. But not in a bad way, but just like, yeah. I was working it with, and she was a receptionist, I think. And yeah. I thought, oh, needy, eh?
Oh, needy. You know, but it is that thing that you have to kind of, you realize some of your problems, like, one of the good things about why, like, doing this stuff is, you know, you're making people laugh, and you, like you were saying, you love laughing yourself and everything. But then the other bad thing is you tend to gravitate. In my life, I've gravitated to people who aren't nice to you because you're like, wait, why don't you?
Oh, of course.
Why don't you like me? Right. You know what I mean? Yes, it's like, wait, yeah. But I can be funny. What? Well, what about this? And you do a bigger show for them, you know, and they go, next. No.
Interesting. I thought you were talking about a girl, and suddenly it was Lorne Michaels. No, but you know what's interesting is for me, the relaxed thing, it started out at it started out with me, because I grew up in a big family, at the table on Sundays, and me just trying to make my brothers and my father laugh. Mm-hmm. And if I could really get my dad laughing so that he was hunched over,
yeah,
and I was happy, and I knew there would be Sunday lunches where I would leave the table and go, yeah, no, that today was a...
I nailed it.
I really had a hot hand today. And just, you know, like, I'm 14 or whatever. What are you talking about?
You feel that way as an actor, too. It's the same thing where you could get emotional, or if you're... Every time you're kind of thinking about something at home by yourself, you know what I mean, and no one's around, you're such a better performer than in suddenly people are around, especially in Saturday Night Live. You just... you know, clam up. Or I remember my big thing was for impressions, trying to get impressions not to be kind of the only way I could describe it, instead of performing them, it's like acting them, making them more behavioral, trying to make them sound more like, you know, add the kind of pauses and things that and the rhythms that are in life, as opposed to, because I grew up with Dana and Phil Hartman and all those people, and thinking, well, they've done it better than anybody, you know, but it was very performed. And I'm like, can I do something different, you know? And I could do it in my dressing room by myself. And then the minute I would get out on stage, you just couldn't help but be like, I want you to laugh. So you would kind of tighten, you know,
push it a little bit and tighten up a bit.
And it wasn't until I did Rick Perry. Hold.
We're putting applause in later. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Lots of applause.
Big jets.
Why were those military jets honoring
Ask
your...
Ask not what your country can do for you.
Why?
I have a dream. Now, 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 now,
now, now. What? These iconic moments are honoring you.
The Challenger has exploded.
Oh my God.
What is happening? God.
Too far.
What is happening?
Going, 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 going. Censor.
Me and Fred Armisen used to do a bit where we were guys on Lifetime. We were like, it was a Time Life, and we were recording VO for a Time Life thing. It was one of those bits that only made John Mulaney laugh, and then mm-hmm. we tried it on the show. And it died, but it was just us in a recording booth, and you would go, John Lennon. John Lennon. I'm just going to do another one. John Lennon. The Dakota. Oh, God. Can I just do two? The Dakota. Mark David Chen. And then you would have to figure out what the historical event was. So Fred did one where he was like, Day of Infamy, you know, a science teacher. And you're like, oh, is it the Challenger explosion? You know, and you're like, no, you know. Jimi Hendrix.
Wait, how
the
does he fit
Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah. Well, this is one of those things that we have a lot of things that there are things that we share, and it's not just old-timey voices and contraptions, but we're also both, we love murder.
Yeah.
And I remember you, who was the guy you would
do? I like
do?
Dark. I always go dark, as you just saw.
Yeah. And but I love it too. And I think we were talking about this the other day, but it was something I noticed that, because we both love crime shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I've noticed about crime shows is that they need every crime show to fit the same narrative.
Yeah.
And the same narrative is happy couple, and everything was, they had the perfect life.
This is, you did this on the show when I was on the show the other day, and I lost it. Well, I laughed so hard.
I was thinking about this because they always have to have, I was noticing it, and the narrative has to be, they were the perfect couple. They had it all. You know, their friends thought that they were meant for each other. And then it all turned into madness. And then you would look at it, and they would say they were the perfect couple. They shared a very small trailer. He was unemployed. She had been employed but had lost her job because of a crack addiction. But anyway, they were the perfect. And you're like, no.
These were, you know, the proverbial salad days.
Yeah. But then things started to go badly. And you're like, no. You're And sometimes it kind of fits, but whenever they would go, and then they would also do this. They loved it. So, like, they had it all. The American dream. He was going to someday buy a boat. They had half a house. He had that shovel he always wanted. You're like, well, wait a minute. What dream is this?
What? It's like he finally got the shoelaces for Christmas.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Yeah.
No, I always like the people who host those shows are my favorite.
You did
Keith Morrison forever, who made me laugh.
Oh, my God. You did such a – I mean, and he was someone who I thought – when you did that impression, I saw you do that impression. I thought that's someone who I didn't think anyone would do an impression of.
You know, I did it, and you'll appreciate it. Was Downey. I would do it for
Jim Downey,
the writer. I would
legendary
do it for,
head writer at SNL,
and he was just kind of hanging around. I don't even think he was writing anything for the show at that point. But I was doing it, and he goes, "You got to do that on the show." And I went, "I just no one knows who that is." He goes, "You have to do that on the show." And just Keith Morrison. All those guys, what's his...
What did you pick up on with Keith Moore? I can't remember. You had this observation that
he's
was...
He's just very, like, sing-songy and kind of... So your dad shot you in the face.
Like, almost like...
So but he go, and I go, that must have been a while. You know, and then the guy... Josh Mankiewicz was the guy who always sounds like he's got a cold. And he's always, you could tell Josh Mankiewicz, he's always the one in the most beautiful, like, island, tropic. Any story that takes place in a beautiful place, you could tell Josh Mankiewicz is like, I'm going there. You guys, back off. Like, he's always on a beach.
Uh-huh.
But he does the same thing every episode. You could make a drinking game of it. He will go to a person and go, now, most people, when they find their wife dead, they call 911. You didn't do that, did you?
He does it everything.
You didn't do that, did you?
You got in the hot tub.
You got in the hot tub with your girlfriend. Now, most people watching this at home. Yeah, he's always like, the person's like, I know where you're going with this. I know I should have called 911. Can we just stop with
the
theatrics?
Ahead,
can we just skip ahead, please? I see what you're doing here. It's very cute, but I watched the show. I know what you're about to say. But Keith Morrison's the best. Where Keith Morrison, Mulaney will text me sometimes, like, are you watching Keith Morrison right now? And one time he said, then there was the DNA. Oh, that pesky DNA. And so Rob Klein, another writer on SNL, and John Mulaney and I were weirdly just, and Kent, and we're just totally obsessed with Keith Morrison.
One of my obsessions is, and it's stuff that can't be on the air, but I love, and this may come from the fact that I grew up with very strict moral code, Irish Catholic family, and so I love riffing off of the very worst thing I could do.
Uh-huh.
What is the worst thing I could do? And so one of the things I love to do is well, Sonny, you've seen me do this. I'll walk into Paula Davis's office, mm-hmm. and I'll see she's got like Star magazines and stuff in there, and I'll be chatting with her, and I'll just be flipping through one, and then I'll say like, shit, if I'm, I told you guys, if I'm in one of these, you shouldn't have it hanging around. And I really commit to it. So she gets upset for a second because she thinks that, oh shit, I left a tabloid out and Conan's in it. And I'm never in tabloids. I don't do anything. But I'll be like, shit, if I'm in this. And she'll be like, what, what? And I'll be like, you know, Conan O'Brien shits pants at Denny's. And then she'll start laughing. And I'd be, and then I'd spin a whole thing where, like, you know, the carrot top quipster, Conan O'Brien, I always try and have that kind of lingo, sailed into a Denny's. Big star here, he yelled, shoving an old woman out of the way. You hurt me, said the old woman, and I served in Korea. Fuck you, lady, said O'Brien. You know, I've got a load of diarrhea in my pants, and I'm going to unload it right here on the floor.
So you'd shit yourself before you
went exactly.
The
Denny. And then it would just, and it always involves, there's always a little boy in a wheelchair saying, you know, sir, you're acting in an uncivil manner. You know, hey there, wheelie.
Hey, Hot Wheels.
Hey, Hot Wheels, said Conan O'Brien to the boy who had, who was confined to a wheelchair because of a brave act he performed in the Boy Scouts 2 years later. Let's see those wheels fly.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Hi. The life that's happening in my head is really fun.
Yeah.
My career is over instantly, thousands of times an hour. Yeah. But it's really, I really enjoy it.
I don't know what it is. That's like the other problem with like loving comedy and talking about it is like so much of it is this weird thing of you need a structure or whatever, but you also need that kind of that crazy, I can't think of the word, but just inspired idea.
Yeah.
That just doesn't make sense. Like that terrible sketch we tried of just saying, you know, guys in the booth just saying John Lennon over and over again, you know.
One more take. Just one, just,
we,
one more.
Yeah,
take.
We always go, I'm just going to do a three in a row. But we would laugh really hard, and I don't know why I'm like, but we would all just find that funny and right. Then try it. And then, and I mean, people, when I was on the show, it was like, Will Forte was the king of that. Will Forte would come up with things that you were like, where did this come from, where he would be like a SWAT guy on a date? I remember that. It's got Megan Fox, and he's this SWAT guy with a haircut and everything. She's like, wow, you know, so you're on the SWAT team. Like, what do you do? And he just was like, yeah, I'm on the SWAT team. He said, but my real passion is I work on a farm. I work with sheep. And then she goes, oh, you raise sheep? And he goes, yeah. And she goes, and how do you make money off that? He's like, well, I say, you know, I sell the pelts and the meat, other things. She's like, oh, so you have to kill them? And he goes, yeah, it's really hard. And it was about him, a SWAT guy, but had nothing to do with him being a SWAT guy. It's the Jim Downey tells me about, I don't know if you were there when Jack Handy did the Giant Businessman.
Oh, yeah.
That sketch, which was giant, Phil Hartman's a giant businessman. Tom Hanks.
I can't remember it very well.
So he's a giant businessman.
Right.
And he's in a small apartment, so he's this giant in a small apartment, and he's in a regular kind of person-sized apartment, and the people next door are being loud, and it's like a punk band. And he crawls out into the hallway, and he knocks on the door with his finger, and it's Tom Hanks, and he goes, you know, and the giant businessman says, excuse me, could you please be quiet? You're being quite loud. And Tom Hanks goes, no, and if you do that again, I'll kick your ass. You know, he closes the door, and then giant businessman goes back to his apartment, and he dials a little small telephone, and he goes, hello, witness protection program.
So he's 50 times bigger than Tom Hanks.
But what made it funny was that it doesn't deliver on its premise at all.
No.
It has nothing to do, him being a giant and him being a businessman has nothing to do with that sketch.
When I was at Saturday Night Live, I had the office next to Jack Handy, and I would look forward to his sketches the way a kid like listens for the ice cream truck.
Those sketches were insane.
Because they were insane and just so, and he came up with Tunsis the Cat, and there's all these insane sketches.
And Frozen Caveman Lawyer, which was amazing.
Yes, so many great things. I remember he came up with one about, there's so many cool, I remember just thinking, how'd you think of that? But there was an era of Westerns in the 1960s where everyone had a specialty. So, like, there was the rifleman who was really good with a rifle. Then there was a guy who was, you know, everyone had a really good gambler. Everyone had, like, had to have a really cool skill. And this is a guy whose name was Johnny Acid. And he carried vials of acid on him. And so a guy would be provoking him in a Western bar. And they'd be like, hey, greenhorn, and he'd just be trying to enjoy his drink, and then suddenly he'd turn around and he'd whip out one of his vials and throw it at the guy who deserved it, because he was deserved some kind of punishment, but he threw acid on the guy, and the guy was like, and everybody around the person was like, oh my God,
that's terrible,
that's awful, and no one thought what Johnny Acid was doing was cool. He was throwing acid on people. God, Jack Handy
would write. Yeah, I mean, Alec Berg and I will get into a full deep thoughts quoting thing we'll remember our favorite deep thoughts and just like lose our minds. And that was one of the coolest moments.
A good deep thought was so great.
Well, they're just so perfectly worded. Like, it's so much in the structure of it. Like, when you're writing, I was never good at like writing jokes, like writing on a piece of, and like, oh, but that, you know, where like Mulaney or people I met, like David Tell or people like that, who could just riff on a thing and they speak in jokes.
Yes.
But the way that Handy wrote those, like, oh man, that is word for word perfect.
There was one,
out.
I'm going to butcher it. I hope I don't butcher it, but he had one deep thought, which was, and I think it goes something like this. I don't know why everyone got so upset when I rushed to give the president my chocolate gun.
You're like,
it's a terrible idea. Of course they got upset.
He had one that we laugh at was, every time I see a thing out of the corner of my eye scuttle across the room, climb up my leg, and latch its fangs onto my neck, I have to laugh because what is that thing?
First time I think it was one of the first times you helped us out. We were on the late night show, and you were, I think, very new at SNL, and we had a goofy Halloween special we were going to do, Halloween episode, and they told me that you agreed to do the Vincent Price voiceover.
Yeah, I did
And it was a fantastic Vincent Price.
Oh, thanks.
And I remember just being delighted that you helped us out.
No, that was huge. I mean, I told you this, but when I was, 15, my friend Jake Thomas and I would, after school, go to his house. He lived across the street from where we went to high school, and he taped it was your first season your show was on, and he taped it, and we would sit and watch it and eat macaroni and cheese and watch every episode of the show. And I was saying, you know, growing up, loving comedy, and my dad and would, you know, watch Letterman and things like that. It was like, oh, this is like the first thing that's mine, that like my dad's not gonna get and my parents aren't gonna get all the jokes, but I get like the lady in the soundproof thing, you know, all these great things that we just were like, this is so our thing. So when I got to, they asked me to do that, do you want to do the thing for Conan, I was like, oh my gosh, you crazy, you know. And I thought that was a huge thing. And then the very first talk show I was ever on was yours. And I think I was so nervous I didn't sit down the whole time. I'm just kind of like up. I watch it. I'm up like this the whole time.
You
like,
keep up out of that.
I was just like, no. And then just so freaked out. And I think at the break I was like, I like history too. Like, be my friend.
And I said, you're not to speak to me. Why are you looking me in the eyes, young man?
Andy, do you smell shit? I do.
Oh, here it is.
Oh, here it is. It's in the shape of a human being.
It's instead of a featured player on Saturday Night Live. Sorry. Sorry, I don't speak complete fucking moron. I can't understand what you're saying.
I wish I had done that to you.
I don't speak your language. I don't speak that dumb moron language. I'm a highfalutin talk show host.
I've always wanted to, like, especially with someone like you who would get it, do, I mean, I wouldn't want to do it the first time, but if you tried to engage me in the commercial break, just completely lose it on you. You're not to speak to me! And then call my executive producer, Jeff Ross!
Yes, sir.
It spoke to me.
It was warned. I am so sorry. We had the conversation a fortnight ago. Shit. Very well. We'll get him away. Don't get him out of here. I want him here. I want him to see this.
He's a
next bollocking time. You're getting.
No, but yeah, I was so, oh my God, nervous. But yeah, just that was the coolest thing. And then going up, and I remember, you know, Kristen Wiig, I just did Conan. I just did the Conan. I was kind of the first one of our group to do a talk show.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it was cool. It was like, I was like, this is amazing. And then the next week, Lazy Sunday happened, and everybody was like, who are these other people? It was all, yeah, it was a different thing.
I mean, when the cupcake thing blew up.
Yeah, Andy's thing blew up, and we were like, the rest of us were like, not. And it was a different time too, which was interesting. Was I think none of us were like angry or it was just like more of an envious, like, oh man, that'd be, oh wow, did you see that? We'd never been that close to a thing that was like a phenomenon.
Yep.
And we were like, wow, that was so cool. And then I think it speaks to our class that people kept having that, like when Bridesmaids happened, we all were like, whoa, Kristen, your movie is like. Like huge, you know, but it was always a place of respect and happy for our friend or friends, you know.
Yeah,
and it was always a nice thing. But I remember that. I remember Andy going on his mark after Lazy Sunday premiered, the next show he did, and got an applause break, and we were all like, "Whoa, my God, that's so cool!" You know. But you know, at the time, you know, you're just like, "This is
also
insane."
That was one of the early massive viral comedy hits.
It was the first thing that it came out, and I went, this is awesome. What's this site that it's on? YouTube. Like, it was the first YouTube video anybody ever sent me was Lazy Sunday. I'd never seen a YouTube video before. So that's, I mean, it was huge.
Right. And now now my kids don't even speak to me. All they do is say, watch this video. And
yeah.
They're holding their laptop. And I'll say, well... You know, and then they'll hit play, and it's a 18-minute comedy video, and they know it by heart, but they want me to watch all of it. And sometimes I think, you know, I'd like to talk to you.
Yeah, I can't.
I'd like to hear what happened in your day. Look at this. Look. No, I've seen the Hindenburg explode. No,
oh my
look.
God.
I've seen the Zapruder film. No, but no, watch it all the way through.
No. Watch this. There's a third shooter.
Yeah.
What?
No, I don't want to see this right now.
I saw this. I know this. But do you ever feel, though, like, as I remember on SNL, we would watch, like a news blooper and go, we can't beat that. How the fuck do you beat that? That thing is so... Because it's real, and it's... I remember Andrew Steele, I showed him the news blooper where the woman goes, this man climbed at Mount Everest, but he's gay. I'm sorry, he's not gay, he's blind.
Yes, I love that.
And Andrew Steele didn't laugh, he just stared at it, and he went, how the fuck do we beat that?
No,
you know what I mean? He was like, that's so fucking funny. How am I gonna, you know...
I
made him mad.
I say this... all the time, which is the business changed, and I don't believe in complaining about things just change, but now it is we get a lot of really funny people together and we work hard to try and make some funny stuff and put it on the air every night, and we're not competing against other late night shows, in my opinion. We're competing against 8 billion people in the world.
Yeah.
And how do you beat... out of 8 billion people who were shooting on their phones pretty much all the time, one of them's grandmother is going to slip on a turtle and go headfirst into a vat of caramel, and it's going to be the funniest thing you ever saw. Yeah. Or someone at a wedding is going to try and do a handstand and explode into flames.
Yeah, and you're going to be like, that's the funniest thing. Any news blooper makes me laugh. But even people just doing comedy, like the Party Bros, have you seen those videos where the guys go in front of city councils?
Yeah.
They're like, hey, how are you? So we just want to say, like, you know, we want to have a bill about, you know, house parties and, like, the Hollywood Hells. And it's just a bit they're doing, but it's so funny.
And it's a theater piece. They're doing, like, a live performance piece.
Yeah. Well, it's all council. That's what they say. And it always makes me laugh. But then, like, the nice thing is then I also, like, watching, we were talking about the other day, like, Tim Robinson's new show. I Think You Should Leave. Like, when I saw that, it was just cool seeing a guy that I knew on Saturday Night Live who, you know, was an actor. And then he got, you know, however you want to look at it, he became a writer on the show. They didn't think he was working as an actor. And then he was a writer. And then he did the show The Detroiters, which was hilarious. And it's just so awesome to see his show in the midst of all this stuff. Me now, since that show's aired, I've had so many people send me clips of it.
Oh, it's getting so much attention.
And people coming up and going, did you see this? And so that makes me happy that in this world of, as you said, we're competing against the whole human race, there's still room for a new sketch voice to come in, or a voice that is doing that, and you go, oh my god, or Broad City or whatever it is. You know?
I like it when the right thing happens.
Yeah.
I just feel like, oh, the world does make sense when a really funny person and it exists, and somehow in all the noise and madness, they find a way to get their message out there and it resonates, and people are like, hey, yeah, I know.
Check that out. Yeah, yeah. It's like, that's why I love, like, Broad City was that way, you know, and you know, just things like that where you kind of go, oh, are people still interested in this? And I like that when I saw the first episode of that, I just was like, I stood up. I was like, oh, I'm so happy that this exists. If I was, you know, I'm a fan of it now, but, you know, I had that feeling you have when I first saw your show. You're 15 and you're like, dude, and you're doing the bits the next day for people and, you know, and all that.
It's so funny when people your generation, and it means a lot to me, I love it, but when people your generation, as you or Mulaney, talk about watching the show and liking what I was doing when you were 15, and I think, I wish I had known. We were kind of in a vacuum. And, people at NBC, you know, for at least a couple of years weren't thrilled about what we were doing, and they were much older than me, so they didn't understand what we were doing. And I remembered it feeling very... we think this is really funny, but it took a couple of years.
Yeah.
I sometimes wish you guys had time machines and you could go back and go, we're big comedy stars from 2019. Leave this show alone. He's doing the right thing.
Leave our Conan alone.
Yeah.
Ready, dog?
Yes, sir.
Of course, you have no proof that you're huge comedy stars in 2019.
Yeah.
Where's your proof? Look at this iPhone.
What?
You shoot me.
Gun! He just had an iPhone. You killed Bill Hader in 2019.
The future hasn't actually been affected at all. I guess the butterfly effect isn't real.
Someone else is starring in Barry.
Yeah, wow. Rainn Wilson is. Wow. Oh, well, that turned out okay, universe.
Yeah.
No, it's true though, and now I feel the same way where I've had people come up to me, and I meet somebody and they'll go, oh man, you know, I was in college and when you guys are doing a documentary now, and now they're and influenced this thing, and so we're trying to do this documentary now type thing, and they're this 20 something filmmaker, and them saying how much it influenced them, and we always felt like exactly what you're saying, we made it in a vacuum and it came out and no one really cared, and you were like, cool, well, we made it for us, we liked it,
we did get a check.
We got a check. This was cool.
I bought some burritos with it.
It's like, all right, well, we got a couch, But at the same time, it's like, you know, the scene, I had a meeting with this guy and just hearing him, and I had the exact same feeling you did. I'm like, I wish you would have come by the set and said, good work, guys.
Right.
Because at times you...
Well, I don't think people don't know. They assume that if you're on TV and you're saying things and getting laughs, that all is right in your world.
Yeah.
And they don't know that that's what it looks like. But from your perspective, you feel like you're hanging on by your fingernails sometimes.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And I know you had a ton of anxiety at SNL.
And
in your career, and I have too, and I've talked a lot about it, and just how much I try to tell people almost like I'm proselytizing. When you look at other people and envy them, be careful.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how it feels to them. And they often, in that moment, it takes years sometimes to figure out, oh, I guess I was doing some okay work back then.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know people liked it that much.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Yeah, that was all right. You know, I always...
And then just then someone drives by in a Prius and is like, you suck now!
Yeah, no, right now, today!
Today you suck! But
May
yesterday
9th,
was
2019,
good.
You suck! Yeah, that's what... I one time was walking down the street with my mother-in-law of the time, and a car pulled up and a cab driver pulled that thing and went, hey, SNL, you and your show fucking suck.
What? Don't you love that?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, and she went, what was that? And I go, oh, that's Rick.
Good kid, good save.
I know him. I know all the cab drivers. I just didn't know what to say, but it was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are like a hometown team in New York, and then, like, if it's not working, fucking people will let you know.
Or even if it isn't working that week.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that week it was like, ugh. Left again is Stefan, huh? All right, it's been a little shady, buddy. you know?
Thanks, cab driver.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you. It's like, anyway. But yeah, I don't know. It was very strange. But I totally, that is very true, because I will go up to people like you or Marty or people, like, oh, you have no idea what your thing, and they always, oh, thank you. But there's always this feeling like, really? That thing?
Yeah.
You really like that thing, huh?
Yeah.
All right, because my experience was we busted our ass and no one liked it. But
yeah.
Cool.
Or I didn't know people liked it, yeah.
Yeah, there was a movie, Hot Rod, I did, and I've had so many people come up to me and go, oh, my God, Hot Rod, Dave and Hot Rod, we love that. And, you know, I remember when that movie came out, we got like a 30 in Rotten Tomatoes, and the box office it lost a lot of money, and we were all depressed and like, oh, geez, oh, wow, this didn't work. And now... you know, I'll be at a Q&A and I go, oh, yeah, Hot Rod. And it's like, you know, and you just, you have no idea.
I did a lot of pornography in 91.
Oh, I remember
and
that.
And I didn't hear, but I never heard anything.
The Red Rocket series.
The Red Rocket. And I never heard, no one ever said, at the time, no one ever said anything about it. And now if I'm somewhere, they're like, fuck, Red Rocket.
Red Rocket, you saved my marriage. You saved
And I just wish
very
that, like,
instructional.
I wish people
did those really instructional.
No one
porn.
Said anything.
It was like a learning to play guitar video.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. This. We're gonna start. Okay. Here's what you need.
Here's what you need. What I usually do. I mean, everyone's different.
I hold it this way.
I hold it this way. You go hold it that way. I mean, it really doesn't matter. So here we go. It's gonna be simple.
And it's all done. And that's how it's done. I think we're out of time, which just sucks, because this is so easy and fun.
Oh, man, I'd love to do it again, man.
No.
All right, I fucked that.
Back.
I fucked it up. I knew I'd fuck this up somehow.
Yeah. No, you'll never be back.
Let's have a second date. Why not? You're not going anywhere. I got your fucking number. I want a second date.
So that doesn't go over well in this new era.
No.
Wow. And huge congrats on, you know, I'm a giant Barry fan.
Thank
and
you.
I love the mix that you and... Mr. Berg and your team have done. You've got this great mix of pathos and tension, and also it can be so funny. And I just think you've made this nice cocktail.
Oh, thank you.
It blends really well. And
the Fourier consideration thing you hosted for us was huge. That was awesome. And
I was I hosted a thing for the Barry cast because I'm such a fan of the show. And
that was so cool. And Alec, the co-creator, used to write for you, and so he was really touched and like oh wow, it was so awesome.
Yeah, it all came full circle.
No, it was cool.
And now I can die.
Oh, wait. Oh, wow, everybody. I know you can't see this at home, but Conan is disintegrating.
Thanos. All right, well, you're a man. You always bring me joy. That's all I can say. You bring me endless joy, and let's hang soon.
All right, on this show again, because I'll be on again.
No, that's not happening.
Shit.
It's not happening. You will never be on another podcast.
I know where you... I picked you up, motherfucker. I know where you live.
We're in the home stretch of this season of Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, so I think it's good that we do a state of the podcast and just assess where we're at. Things are going well. Do you have any questions or comments?
Wait a minute. You just breezed over things are going well. I don't, as you know, I wear many hats. I do the show, the TV show, and I do the travel shows and do some touring. And so I don't know what's going on with the podcast. And I try and get answers, and no one says anything. So let's have it out.
Well, things are going very well. You have a perfect 5-star average rating on iTunes or Apple Podcasts.
Is 5 the best you can get?
That's the most stars. There's not even space for another star.
Okay.
You might be the one that has them add a 6th star.
Oh.
Let's see if we can talk to them about adding a 6th star.
Oh, it's never good enough.
Well, I'm just saying, but if there's even 7? A chance that they will, wouldn't that blow other people's minds?
Yeah.
That would freak out the other podcasts. If suddenly I got 6 and another podcast had 5, and let's say it's a great podcast, a fantastic podcast, but they've got 5, and we just, through sheer grade grubbiness and sort of bothering and manipulating and maybe spreading a little money around, we got a 6-star rating.
Well, what if that space for the 6-star was there, but it didn't color in, like it only went to 0.5 star, so you got 5.5 out of 6s? Is that a concern?
That would enrage me.
You're taking the perfect score that you have right now, and you want to jeopardize that by adding a 6-star.
Yeah.
That's silly.
So that's good. Silly. People seem to like it. That's good.
The podcast gets around 1 million downloads per episode in its first basic podcast cycle, which is tremendous.
That's very good.
Incredible. Okay. For
that's
podcasting, it's really good. The guests have been phenomenal.
I love the guests.
And that's the state of...
Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, because I think you're missing the point, Gorley, if I can call you Gorley.
It's my name.
You are a numbers guy, and what I like to do is just go by... Excuse me.
Someone's farther from the truth.
Someone's talking.
Okay, sorry.
What I like to do is go by how it feels.
Okay.
And it feels good.
Yeah.
I will say that.
I agree.
I have thoroughly enjoyed doing this podcast. It's one of the most satisfying experiences I've had in all my years.
How nice.
In comedy. I really enjoy doing it. I really enjoy talking to all the guests. I love this intimate format. I do enjoy working with you, Sona.
Oh, thanks, Conan. And that's nice.
Yeah.
I enjoy working with you.
Thank you. And Gorley's here. And I'm kidding. I like to give you, I grew up with a lot of brothers and we give each other a hard time.
Yeah.
And so that's a sign of affection when I give you a hard time.
Am I a younger brother or an older brother to you?
You're a younger brother.
So why you picked.
And you go missing in about a year. I told you not to play in those woods, Ben.
This is tough because I had an older sibling who was a bit of a bully.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh, is that true?
Uh-huh.
So do I remind you of him sometimes?
As a her, but yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, and she this was when we were kids. She and I couldn't be closer. Now I love her to death. And
right, that's called the Stockholm Syndrome.
It is, yeah.
Your tormentor
she
becomes your best
nothing,
friend.
Yeah. And she, Jenny, did nothing that siblings didn't do when they were kids. She's tremendous.
My brother tormented me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He actually prepped me for this job.
Really?
If I didn't have Danny, I don't know how long I would have lasted in this job.
That's a good point. So I actually thankful to my sister.
Jenny trained you essentially to do this.
Did. Yeah. No one could fully train you for this.
No, I am the ultimate, you got to admit I'm the best at
teasing, tormenting.
You're creative.
Yeah, what a
very
title.
Creative.
Yeah.
Well, hey, it's something.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know, it's going to be the best at something. No, I really enjoy working with you, Matt, and with you, Sona, and I think we have a nice thing going here, and it's hard to believe that we were almost done with a season. How many have we done at
we've
this
done,
point?
At this point, we've recorded, I think, 26 or 7.
And what are we? How many are we
36.
Supposed?
36.
36.
So we're in the final stretch.
Wow.
Are we coming back for a second season?
Oh, that's funny that you say that, because we talked beforehand and decided we wouldn't mention that on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So are you high or something?
I was last night.
It you
could
were
be
here.
A residual highness.
You were here and we...
I Adam didn't pay
Sachs,
attention.
Adam Sachs brought that up and said, no, don't mention that, because we're going to... You know, that's not something we would announce yet.
Sorry, Adam.
And then you take this big dramatic pause... And probably inhale some of that sweet doob that's still in your lungs from last night.
I ate it. It was,
and, was still it an edible? In my,
it was. It was
an
a
edible.
Gummy.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
sorry, Adam. I honestly wasn't paying attention.
No, no. That's, don't worry. I will tell you.
You're going to edit this out, obviously.
No.
Well, not necessarily. We can leave it as a mystery.
No.
This is a mystery. We haven't said if we are or not. And so, as always, Sona, your accident... You know, that's how penicillin was discovered. It was an accident.
So you're welcome.
Yeah.
World.
Yeah. Some mold grew on a agar plate, and they just noticed, oh, look, it's defeating the bacteria around it. Maybe mold. Hey, that's penicillin. So you just saved millions and millions of lives.
You're welcome.
With your...
Well done.
Bungling.
It's been really fun.
I don't know that I can do another season. I've... given so much of myself in this one.
Have you?
I really haven't. Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad things are going well.
Yeah.
I'm happy. So you're saying the state of the show is good.
The state of the show is excellent, I think.
Okay. Very good.
And that's, we started strong and it's continued to grow. And that's just my annual shareholder report to you, the boss.
That's cool. Okay.
Yeah. That's nice.
People like us.
Right. What's Yeah. What are you doing? You're doing like an origami thing with
a
piece of paper.
Fanning out the... I'm folding it.
Yeah, we just established that you weren't paying attention to crucial details. And I look over and you're like making some... what looks like a very bad origami with a piece of paper and...
decorating it.
You're high.
I'm not high right now.
No?
I'm not.
Do your parents know that you occasionally indulge in the doobage?
Yes, that was not a great conversation. Because my mom asked me in a way which was like, do you do it? And I was like, yeah, I have a prescription. This is before. And then the next day they had a full-blown intervention almost where she was like, Gil, which is my dad's name. And he's like, we just think that that'll lead to other things. And I was like, I'm like 32 years old. I've been doing it for a while. If I was going to do meth, I would have done meth already.
Have you done meth?
No, I haven't done meth. No.
Just, I didn't. Why do you get so defensive?
Because it's not the logical next step, is not meth.
What is the logical next step after marijuana?
Know. Coke?
I guess.
Ecstasy? Molly?
Maybe ecstasy.
What about pills? You know, Black Bennies or Red Johnnies? The Devil's Horns, Yellow Jackets.
I'm sorry, a film noir villain just walked in.
What about those? Stop Hoppers?
Stop Hoppers.
What about them? No, I'm at Willy Wonka's factory.
Pink Ladies?
No, I mean, really. You done any...
No, I've only...
You ever do a Joey Ha-Ha? Those are fantastic.
Joey Ha-Ha.
I'm a pill expert. I know uppers, downers. You want to know? Goofballs? That's another one, goofballs.
Yeah, that's right.
Goofballs, I feel like you take a lot of goofballs.
You got me. Zing.
This is awful.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say the state of the podcast is good, but now I'm a little concerned.
It's not good.
No.
Not now. I mean, it might be good on the outside, but here in this room, it's a disaster.
That's right. It
always.
Is.
Led by the incomparable Conan O'Brien.
I am
a king disaster.
First of all, I have no foreign matter in my bloodstream, so I'm fine. You're the one here that's was just in the alley swallowing a handful of Staubgabbers, Jack Sprats, Holy Hanukkahs, Mademoiselles, Dibble Doppers, Flat Hoppers, Mojoppers.
You're just rhyming oppers. Like, you're just rhyming a bunch of things. It's not good anymore. Sorry. Your improv got a little bad at the end.
But you know why? Because I'm so high on Blifstoffers. Gobfoffers.
It's rhyming again.
John Groffers.
John Groffers. Named after your former head writer.
Yeah. Okay. Those will get you whacked out.
How much for a bag of John Groffers?
Give me some John Groffers.
Oh, get out of here, man.
So the podcast is doing this may be the last episode.
Right.
At what expense to the two of us?
Our personal expense.
We are down to 2 stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they added that 6th one.
They've added 15 stars and we're down to 2.
The worst reviews come from me and Matt.
Yeah, I know. We should go in there and do personal reviews.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad both of you are in my life and that I've figured out a way to monetize it. Sorry.
All right.
Peace out, Shadrach.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend with Sonam Ovsesian and Conan O'Brien as himself. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco and Chris Bannon and Colin Anderson at Earwolf. Special thanks to Jack White for the theme song. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and the show is engineered by Will Beckton. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review featured on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 323-451-2821 and leave a message. It, too, could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.